This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello and welcome back to the App Betches podcast. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Jordana. Lots of pop culture things to discuss this week.
Such natural pop culture radio hosts we are.
Yeah. I mean, anything going on with you that you want to share with the listeners?
No. What about you?
Nothing that I haven't already shared on like three other podcasts. So,
okay, fair enough. I mean, I was awoken this morning at like 7 a.m. I know that's not really that late, by our smoke alarm going off out of nowhere. And this constantly happens to us. It just goes off suddenly at random times. And every single time.
Have you thought about getting that looked into?
Well, now we're going to, because this happened like four times this past year. And then every single time the police and the fire department come. And even if you call them, they won't not come and like see what's up. So every single time they know who I am now, it's like embarrassing at this point. So actually that's what I've been dealing with this morning.
Okay. So they don't know why it's going off.
No, I have to, we're going to have an appointment with ADT. It just, cause it happens like kind of a lot where it'll just go off out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, in an ideal scenario, this only happens
when there's a fire. Right. Yeah. Yes, that is.
Why do the police need to be there?
I don't know. The police and the fire department both come every single time. Anytime an alarm goes off.
Interesting.
That is like not deactivated.
Which happens quite often for you, I guess.
Apparently.
How many times has it been?
Well, okay. With the fire alarm, there have been, I believe, like at least four. But there was also a time when I was alone and I was trying to figure out the alarm system and I accidentally set it off. Okay. And so it's like just so many problems.
If it's been four times, how have you not looked into this yet?
We have looked into it. You know, like we've called them and they are just like, no, there's no problems. And we're going to have to do it again.
Yeah. Wow. That's annoying. I'm sorry. Yeah,
very annoying. But, you know, that's all the excitement in my life right now.
What time did it go off?
It was like 7. Avi's in Chicago for work for the night and he left at like 5. So.
How convenient for him.
Right. Right. Do you think he just set it off to like be like, get up. I know you're not getting up.
That'd be very funny if he was using like the fire alarm to passive aggressively get you to wake up.
It would be super manipulative because he texted me like immediately after was like, you OK? So if he then did that, it would be because he gets a notification too.
It sounds like a true crime story.
Yeah. It's like where he gets on the plane to Chicago and suddenly.
Right. So all of a sudden there's something, you know, there's a fire in the house.
Exactly.
Sorry to plant that seed in your head. Anyway.
Well, you know, I don't know. It doesn't bother me maybe as much as it, you know, I don't think he's going to do anything to me.
I agree with that. I think that's a good thing. We both agree.
But didn't we play a game when we were out to dinner with Aileen? Who was most likely to be murdered by their husband or murder their spouse?
Yeah, that was a fun game.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the answers were, but we probably shouldn't air them here because in case we don't want to rope Aileen into this.
Exactly. Against her will. And she, you know, she gets very anxious about these things.
Right. Even hypothetically.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's a shame. I was thinking it is a shame that she's not here for this episode because she's a huge Friends fan. And we're going to talk about all the Friends tributes from the cast to Matthew Perry.
So we're going to talk about all of them.
We're not going to talk
gonna
about.
We're going to read all of them?
No, I'm just saying we're going to talk about them. You know, yeah, I'm not saying we're going to like, you know, literally analyze each of them. We're going to discuss them. But that will come later.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is interestingly, like the most coordinated posting situation that I've seen like among celebrities on Instagram.
Ever, you mean?
About something like this.
Right. Well, they are friends. So, you know.
I wonder how good friends are they?
I actually think as far as ensemble casts go, they're probably one of the most solidly actually friends ensemble casts that...
I don't know. I didn't watch The Reunion. Did you watch The Reunion?
I didn't watch The Reunion because I don't care. I prefer to leave it in the past when where the episodes belong.
So what gives you the sense that they're so close?
Just like my observations of pop culture for like years. Like I know
Courteney Cox and Jennifer Aniston are like very good friends.
They're friends, but also like celebrities, they see each other in places. Like I'm sure they're not like posting together. My sense is that there's like good vibes between them and they're...
Based on what though?
Based on you don't really hear anything other than good things about any interactions between any of them. Like I can't think of a single story where there was any amount of conflict between any of them.
Sure.
Or even stories about there being that. And there would have been if there were...
The lack of distaste between them doesn't equate to a closeness.
Do I think they're going on like a vacation trip? I don't think they're all going as like on a vacation together. But my sense is that there's positivity between them. There's probably a not so active group chat is my guess. And I think what actually makes his death so sad and their tributes so sad and this situation particularly like, you know, moving for people is that most... ensemble casts are not in like a sitcom together where they're all playing friends.
Also where they're like, they're in a set six person, no lead. Every single person is the same level of stardom. Another yes. important factor, I think, in preserving the friendship.
Yes. And they were just like a groundbreaking show. They all sort of rose in success together. All of them, I would say, are equally associated with friends as like a key part of their career, even though they have been able to have successful careers outside of it. Mm-hmm. And I just think the fact that they like played friends instead of being in conflict with each other
right.
helped them stay bonded. Plus like the male-female dynamics, like, you know.
Holly says that David Schwimmer and Jen Aniston would have been paid more, but they all held out for the same salary for the final season. Why was David Schwimmer supposed to be paid more? I feel like that's
I think it's possible that at the time, maybe he was considered bigger.
Because of the Ross and Rachel of it all, says Holly. I think that I remember when they negotiated and they each were making $1 million per episode for the last season. And that was like really big at the time. Now, probably not as big of a deal, but I don't know what year this was, like 20 years ago.
I think per episode or the whole season.
I think it was per episode.
Oh, I mean, that's a lot of money. That's like, how many episodes are there? Like 22? Probably. $22 million. I don't know.
How many episodes are there in a Friends season? Maybe like.
I feel there were probably around 22 episodes.
That's an expensive show.
It sold a ton of ads and it was in syndication.
18 episodes.
18.
18 million times six is a lot of million.
Like almost.
Like 108 million.
Yeah. Okay. But here's the thing. They definitely made more than that in ads. Like they probably made, I don't know. This is like 90s money. They definitely made more than double than that in ads and like.
$18 million for the season.
It was a
huge
draw. First of all, it also anchored their... Do you remember like NBC Thursday nights were the place to be?
What else was airing?
I think there was like ER, I think was at the end maybe. Maybe Will and Grace. But that was just... It changed. It like, but Friends anchored Thursday night. And it was like the biggest draw to the network. Like I think Friends put NBC... like. Almost made NBC like that place for Thursday night primetime television over the other networks. And that was like its own groundbreaking thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think it like really solidified NBC as a leading network at that time. And they were.
Are they still a leading network?
I would say they're still a leading network amongst like the big three networks.
The people who are still watching cable TV. Okay. Wow.
They
line drawn in the sand.
They own Bravo.
But anyway, everyone put together some very nice Instagram posts. I went and checked all of them.
You did.
You know, it'd be interesting. You know what I mean? Like it's funny, not funny, but it's kind of interesting. Like, it went and checked all of them. And if, like, if there was one missing, it would be insane.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, well, that's probably why. Well, I also just don't think their publicists were involved in the coordination of it. Like, I think they did the coordination themselves, is my sense.
Why?
Because I just think that they probably grieved together and this was part of it when they would all post.
What was the conversation like? Okay, like on the 15th, we're all going to put our posts
up? No. It's like they were grieving ongoing. And then at some point, they probably felt ready to post and discussed. They knew they were all going to be, they knew that they were all going to eventually post, but they were dealing with the reality of it for probably at least a week before they started considering posting. And then they probably discussed it in like a rolling conversation, both in person and by via text.
Right. I mean, it was definitely discussed, obviously.
Of course it was discussed, yes. But I think it's like, I mean, to, you know, the three of us have discussed when we're going to post about the LBG deal and we just never did, but we've discussed, oh, should we post? Should we post this? We just have never done it because it just, whatever, we haven't, but we've never been able to like come up with the right post. But they are all like probably having that conversation.
I know. It just seems more like it just seems it's like a little meta or like bizarre to just think of like people coordinating a post around this specific event of this death. I also don't think there's anything wrong with it. I'm fine with it. I'm just
either.
Saying it's interesting.
I don't think they ran each other's captions by each other, but I think they said, oh, well, I'm going to post today. Should we all post today? Kind of thing.
Which one did you think was the like most heartfelt to you?
I think it was Jennifer Aniston's.
Yeah. Hers kind of showed that they were definitely close.
Yeah, I also just maybe that's like the way she writes more than, you know, it could. It's kind of also just their own selves. Like some people are just going to write a little more stream of conscious than others.
Fair enough.
What did you think was the most hard? Jennifer Aniston.
I agree. Jennifer Aniston's. David Schwimmer's made me think they weren't particularly close.
I felt the same way.
Which is fine.
Yeah, but I would say he was the only one. I agree because it was focused on his like talent. And not like how close.
It's basically like I enjoyed working with you, which was like, that's fine.
Right. It was very work referenced. And the others were a bit more like about his personality. I don't know. I feel bad ripping these apart.
No, I'm not even critiquing it. I'm just saying like it seems reflective of them maybe being a little bit less close than others. Sean says that's just how men post. That's and that kinda, Matt LeBlanc's was similar.
I understand, but it was different. Matt LeBlanc's was more personal and David Schwimmer's was more focused on like him as an artiste.
Yes, I agree. But I mean, who knows? Again, they were all great, like very heartfelt. And that's just our fucked up assessment. Blame us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom-milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's LITTLESLEEPIES.com with promo code BETCHES.
For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those five precision-engineered blades. The blades are perfect spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Speaking of posts, this has been a big week. Betches was in vogue as one of the funniest meme accounts you have to follow or something. I mean, this is very exciting.
Yes, humble brags for us.
Humble brags for us.
We wanted to insert those before we forget.
Right, they were in our outline. Next up, though, we got to get into vogue for fashion, right, Jordana? I think it's...
I'm going to be in vogue for fashion.
Exactly. Sure. Yes. I think we need that to happen.
Does Anna Wintour's new line, does she see coming for winter 2024 the Betches sweatpants that are worn for 4 days straight? is that in fashion up this
honestly,
winter?
Honestly, call it derelict. Kanye has made uglier things.
That's true.
And also, speaking of ugly, we also got another shout out on The View from Whoopi Goldberg, who called out our article by one of our employees, lifestyle editor Melanie White, who wrote this article about ugly girl lifestyle, which is basically about like wearing your Betches sweatpants in a row for 4 days in a row. And Whoopi shouted her out. And it was just so, so, so cool. Congrats to Melanie.
Yes. Big week for Betches content. So if you guys aren't reading the website or looking at the Instagram or looking at all the shit or listening to every podcast we have, go do it. We want you to binge consume as much content as you can before Thanksgiving.
We're so natural at promoting our stuff.
I hate promoting our own
I do
stuff.
Too. I wish it's like braggy and just like annoying. Like even when I really believe it, which is now, and all, like I genuinely always believe it, but like I just like I'm going to tell you to read my thing. Like that's yeah. So
I know, agree. Well,
I can't handle it.
On that note, go read it or don't. Yeah, whatever you want. Read something else.
Please do read it. But you know, it's always very astounding to me when, and I think some creators are so good at this, Jared's so good at this, where they're able to like confidently talk about their work rather than just being like, here, it's out there. Let us know what you think. You know, some people are able to like be excited about.
I guess I don't like want to do that though.
I don't either. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's like, if you find out, like, great.
Are we further complimenting ourselves by saying that we are so humble?
No, it's not humble. It's like, it doesn't come from a place of humility. It comes from a place of like, I don't know. I'm not good at it is what I'm saying. It's a skill.
Yeah. To do it gracefully. Fair.
Yeah.
On that note, what's this thing with Kim Kardashian and North and something about her lemonade stand?
Yeah. So Kim had an interview in GQ. Did you see? She was like eating Cheetos. Was that Cheetos?
Something about she's like the most powerful man or something.
So she was talking about North likes to set up a lemonade stand outside their house. And basically she was like bragging about how North fully scams people that she knows at the lemonade stand. Like if someone she doesn't know walks by, she'll just charge them like $2. But if someone she knows walks by, she'll fully scam you. She'll grab their $20 and say, I don't have any change. It's like, is you bragging about that?
Is Northwest the new Billy McFarland? In training?
Yeah, I mean, scamming people
I could see Northwest putting on a fire festival.
I could too. I could too. Also, like, how many people are walking by?
Yeah,
their
where
house?
Is this lemonade stand? It's, I'm sure it's not in. She's not in an area where all the houses are super close together.
It also just seems like you're gonna let Northwest stand at the end of your driveway.
Also, what does Northwest even need the money for?
I don't think it's like about that. You, she's not supporting the family. Like, she's just doing a.
I know,
kid
but it's
thing.
Not like, oh, it's not like Kim doesn't give her any like spending money. I'm sure.
I'm sure Kim gives North whatever she wants. It's about the fun of running a business.
Every anecdote I hear about Northwest makes her sound like a fucking nightmare, if I'm being totally honest.
I know. I mean, not to child shame, but yeah. Like, it just,
I mean,
really
it was a child. This is saying everything I've heard about her.
Right.
Lends itself to that narrative. So, and Kim is the one controlling the narrative. So
I wouldn't be bragging about this if I were Kim. I know she's being like, she thinks she's like being funny, but, I don't know.
Right. Well, she's, I think she's like kind of playing into it. She let her do that interview where she talks about being her own fashion icon. Like, she's clearly like promoting this version of her being publicized.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't buy something from Northwest knowing that she lies about not having change. It's like, do you not give refunds? Do you pretend you're going to give refunds and you don't?
Should I find her lemonade stand on Yelp?
Should you report it to the Better Business Bureau?
Yeah.
I mean, they get shit done, as I've said many times.
I agree. I'm a big fan of the Better Business Bureau. One of the best working agencies in government.
You should put that. That's not a government agency. It's independent.
Whatever.
We should.
Independent agency. Can we get sponsored by the Better Business Bureau?
Would that be good business for them? I don't know if that would imply impartiality.
Yeah, they probably should stay out of sponsoring any businesses as the Better Business Bureau. Yeah,
I would say, though, we got to make stickers for this podcast. We need a Better Business Bureau sticker.
I would wear a hat that said Better Business Bureau.
Is that allowed?
Sure.
Can we take their IP?
I don't know.
Better Betches Bureau? Betches Business Bureau.
Better Betches Bureau. We are a business.
Betches Business man. Bureau.
I am a business. Yeah.
Okay, well, speaking of out of touch shit, Gwyneth Paltrow's ski trial is being turned into a musical in London. Did you hear this? I'm really excited. I want to go.
This is a very exciting piece of news. I'm very, like,
same.
Very genius. Whoever decided to do this, very, very funny.
I know. I'm like, mad we didn't think about it. It's going to be soon, though. Like, do you want to go to London December 13th to 23rd to go see it?
No. But, like, the idea that it's being made, I respect that. I'm like a Zoolander
yeah,
again.
Sting.
Will I go see it? No.
Oh my God.
Would I watch a YouTube clip if something was released about it? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the bar for that is not the highest.
Liza, our friend Liza was like, do you want to go see Taylor Swift in Buenos Aires? I'm like, no.
Like, what? Oh God. How could she have not asked me? It's fucking, that's fucking rude.
It was like the same day.
I would have gone maybe.
I'm like, what do you mean? I'm in my Betches sweatpants on date. You think I'm going to pack my shit to go to Buenos Aires to pay like $4,000 for a Taylor Swift ticket?
Yeah. Buenos Aires is also not the place that I would go to because it's real. It's too far. It's too different. And like, I'd go to Miami on that late notice.
Yeah, maybe Miami. But I also like, here's the thing. She's like, well, oh yeah, I forgot you don't like Taylor Swift. I'm like, I like Taylor Swift. I like her $300 concert tickets worth.
So you like her enough to get a fan code?
That is the amount that I like her, $300 in concert ticket.
Do you like anyone more than $300 in concert ticket?
Yeah, I think I do.
Who?
I would say Mumford. I'd probably go up to like $500 for Mumford.
Okay. How much are Mumford tickets? Is that like?
I have no idea.
Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But Framebridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love Framebridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. FrameBridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at FrameBridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then FrameBridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit FrameBridge.com or a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's FrameBridge.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Betches.
Oh, speaking of Taylor Swift, I know we have not discussed, we obviously have not discussed that Buenos Aires kiss. That's because Holly and I are doing it on a separate Speak Now episode that will come out tomorrow. And we are joined by my friend Ali Batali. She's like the Capital News reporter for NBC News. Speaking of our favorite channel.
Is she the Taylor Swift reporter?
No, she's the Capital reporter, but she wrote a book called Elected, which is about why there has not been a woman president. And I think she is just, she's just the perfect person to talk about this.
I mean, I'll let you guys get into that, but I did think, I think it's becoming a little much. The Taylor Travis running into each other's arms thing. I'm sorry. It's a little much for me. I'm like, I thought it was cute when they were like, kind of like, oh, are they, aren't they? Now I'm like, all right, go away.
I see what you see. Do you think it's a little much because it was just like plastered everywhere and you saw it too many times?
The lyric.
I thought the lyric was cute.
The make out. I'm like, all right, I get it. You've moved on.
I actually thought the lyric was like cuter than the makeout in a way.
I agree. But I think it was both of them together. I was like one or the other. I would have been like, that's really cute. Both of them. I'm like, okay. Like this is like, you're at your job.
I thought
like,
the kiss.
You're at work. Nobody wants to work anymore. Keep it together. You're at work.
No, honestly,
this is the workplace. Well, are you going to change lyrics? Like, what if I change the thing to like, Betches love bike? Like, oh my God, I'm so in love, guys. How cute is that?
Okay, well, now that you no longer own.
You'd be like, no, like, this is work.
Well, famously,
like, work.
She owns the songs, so she can change whatever she wants.
I know.
Could have done that it's, like a few weeks ago.
It's her business. She could. Just, I'm not saying she can't. She can. I'm just saying, should she?
I thought it was great, and I hope she releases a version like that. I will say, I think if it had just been the lyric, that would have been perfect. I think it was, especially because like you saw them the night before going to dinner, you have all this news. The kiss made the whole thing feel more staged, because also if you watch the videos of him like waiting for her and like Taylor's dad showing him where to go stand.
That's what I'm saying. It's like a little much.
That felt staged. The Chiefs lyric felt cute and personal and fun. And like that would have been like just the perfect touch. The kiss felt like,
so you agree,
foot pop. It's
like a little, you know, overdone.
I mean, I don't know if it's overdone in terms of what she did or overdone in terms of the way it was spoken about, which is like not her fault, but also sort of because she knows when she's putting a kiss in public view, specifically on purpose, where he's being told to stand there and wait so that she could go run to him. It just felt very like, that felt more, that made it feel staged. Whereas the Chiefs thing felt like a gift to him.
This whole concert was like her hard launch.
Yes, but like, I really think that just the Chiefs lyric would have been like so perfect. But
I agree with you.
Taylor's an emotional gal. You know, I know from firsthand experience, and she likes to go in deep and hard, and you know, that's what we love about her. Well, that's what we love about her. And that's what makes her lyrics so wonderful. Anyway, you can hear more of this on Speak Now tomorrow.
I'll take my critical energy out of the conversation so you and Holly can just get into it.
And Allie, I mean, I think it's fair in this world where Swifties are the majority, you need a voice. Those who would only pay $300.
I stand with those
who think Taylor Swift is a little bit much.
Right. I stand with those who are still big fans of Taylor, but, you know.
Yeah.
In recent.
I think the only thing that would shock me now is if someone was like, I have no opinion on Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that would be
weird.
Although,
wait, Morgan Freeman did say that today. He said...
who asked him, though?
Entertainment, CBS Mornings asked him. Because he's a Kansas City Chiefs fan. So he was asked, what does he think about the romance? He says,
I don't think about them at all.
Honestly, that is the bit. That is like
so funny.
Added to my respect of Morgan Freeman as an actor.
I do too.
I don't think about them at all is like the best way to respond to something you really don't give a shit about.
It is. It is. And
he's probably a little insulted that he's like, this is the person's chance to interview him. This is their chance to interview him. And they're asking him about this.
About their romance.
He's like, I've had a career spanning like 70 years or whatever it is.
I'm the voice of God, quite literally.
And you're asking me about like this stupid shit?
Yeah, no, I see. I agree with you. I see that from his perspective because he probably isn't scrolling Instagram and TikTok where there's only a billion videos of them kissing. So he doesn't think about them because he's not confronted with them.
And he doesn't care.
That's
the other thing.
Right. He likes the football.
His algorithm isn't feeding him that because he doesn't care.
Does he even have an algorithm?
I have no idea. We all deserve an algorithm.
We do. I bet you Morgan Freeman is thinking about other more important things. But back to Gwyneth and this Goop show. It looks so, so, so good. It seems like it's going to be a comedy. The synopsis is the following. She's the Goop founding, door sliding, Shakespeare and loving, consciously uncoupling Hollywood superstar. He's a retired optometrist from Utah. In 2016, they went skiing. On the slopes of Deer Valley, their worlds collided, and so did they. Literally. Ouch. 7 years later in 2023, they went to court. Double ouch. This is their story. Kind of. Not really. But also, it's a Christmas. I'm so excited. I wish we could release this on video or something.
Maybe they'll come up. Maybe they'll do a film version.
That would be... Someone should offer them that.
I'm sure...
They've been offered?
That's probably in discussion.
I hope. If it's not, call us. We're here.
Please do.
We also had a really funny article on Betches.com again that was... by one of our employees, Stephanie Perlman, who wrote about, she wrote like a fake playbill of the different like songs, predicted acts. It's really funny. It takes 2 seconds to read and it's hilarious. So check it out.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more. Many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month.
You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. All right, let's talk. So the Grammys thing, I never watched the Grammys. I don't think I've watched the Grammys in like 10 years. Do you watch the Grammys?
I usually would have them on in the background, at least. You know, okay. As one who has a pop culture podcast.
What? Listen, this is from your least informed friends. Pop culture podcast from your least informed friends. That should be our tagline.
You should change the tagline. I wonder if that would change expectations. Although I would just be like, why the fuck would I want to listen to this? People who care about pop culture.
Because it's kind of like listening to your least informed friends talk about pop culture.
Which everyone always wants to do.
Maybe.
But we're talking about more than pop culture. We're talking about the culture in general.
Okay. So the Grammys, I won't be watching. Okay. Who's nominated?
Okay. SZA.
When are they?
SZA has the most nominations. She has 9 nominations. Okay. I mean, all the people you would expect, a lot of women. Like almost.
That's how you say her name?
SZA?
I always thought it was SZA.
Well, maybe you should watch the fucking Grammys and hear it.
But maybe. Okay.
Okay, lots of people. Taylor, obviously, Olivia Rodrigo, Boy Genius, which is like Phoebe Bridgers' band, Miley Cyrus, John Batiste, who sings a song I really like on a Lana Del Rey album, but obviously I don't think he wants to be known for that. Victoria Monet and Billie Eilish, they're all up for Record of the Year and Album of, a lot of them are up for Album of the Year. I never really understood the distinction between those things, despite having the Grammys on in the background every year. And Barbie received 12 nominations, 11 for the soundtrack album, largely for Billie Eilish's What Was I Made For and Dua Lipa's Dance the Night. How does that sound nice to you? Are you going to tune in?
I don't think I'll tune in. The only ones I really watch are the movie ones, movie TV ones.
Mostly Globes. Just
Golden Globes and the Academy Awards. Those two are my
The Academy Awards is actually, in my opinion, more boring than the Grammys because the Grammys has performances.
I have more knowledge of like movie stuff than I do of music stuff. So I am like more invested.
Interesting.
Like I don't know who sings anything.
But these are like famous songs. Like they're not like.
I know, but I don't care like as much as like a movie I feel like is an experience. And so is a song. It's true.
The reason I keep the Grammys on is because you can see the performances. Like I don't. And if someone I like wins an award, I'll turn it on, you know?
Right.
Because that's what makes it fun. Plus, it's like the best music award. So like you get Beyonce there. You get, you know, you get your people there.
Who's performing? Anyone?
Probably all of these people that I just named. Oh. Because they're up for the awards.
Well, let me know. Let me know how it goes. Can't wait to hear.
Aileen will be back by then.
Aileen will be back. Okay,
it's going to be February 4th on CBS. Okay.
Well, when you ask me what I thought, I will say, I don't think about it at all. That's going to be my new line. I'm stealing it from Morgan Freeman.
It's the best. It's a very good line. Oh, there is a line in Mad Men. Holly just called out. Don Draper says it. It's so interesting because when I
say it too.
Oh, I can't fucking remember.
I don't care what you think about me. I don't think about you at all.
Oh, he says it to Pete Campbell. Yes, he says it to Pete Campbell. And I can like hear how he says it exactly in my head.
Do you think Morgan Freeman got that from him?
I think he probably, it's like an easy thing. It's a very easy way to answer if you don't think about them at all.
Fair. Yeah. It's also nicer than I don't care.
Is it? No, I think it's actually more. I think I don't care feels like you do care a little. I don't think about you at all feels like you genuinely do not give a fuck.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's nicer.
No, it's meaner. But it sounds nicer.
No, I guess that's fair. Yeah. Like you're not even on my radar.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no thoughts, not even negative ones.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Right.
It's more insulting, but it sounds nicer.
That's true. Well, that won't be the last you hear that from me. I love a good passive aggressive phrase. What have you watched this week?
I watched Beverly Hills and I watched Salt Lake City and I watched Totally Killer this weekend.
What'd you think?
I liked it. It was good.
It was cute, right?
Yeah, it was definitely like good enough to get to the end.
Yeah. I actually laughed out loud like a couple times. I thought there were some lines that were pretty funny.
There were definitely clever lines for sure. Yeah. I don't think I liked it as much as you, just because like it's not my genre, and like I constantly can't handle the stabbing sounds. I have to like turn the sound off. I don't really see.
There wasn't that much stabbing.
No, there is if you don't like it. It's like okay.
You're like, any stabbing is too much stabbing, yeah, when you don't like stabbing.
Exactly. Like the sounds, like I can't. So it was like, oh, I can't just hide my eyes. I have to like not look. But it was clever. It was definitely right. Clever.
It was cute.
It was
as cute as like a funny horror movie could be.
It was, yeah, good, bad.
Good, bad means it was meant to be bad.
No, it was meant to be good.
Oh.
But it was.
You think it was meant to be good?
It was meant to be like a little better than like a bad movie.
Right.
It was definitely meant to be clever. You know what I really want to see? Saltburn. I keep seeing.
Is that in theaters?
I think it is. So annoying. They keep trying to bring this theater thing back. I just want to watch it in my house.
Yeah, what happened? Everyone's like, come on.
Just release it at both at once.
If no one's going to watch it in the theater, if it's out in both at once. Actually, now that it's winter, maybe I would go to the movies.
Do you want to go to a movie?
I mean, I would have to like be desperate. But
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like really bored?
I'm like, I could just not.
Yeah. There's nothing that like... And maybe if there was some, I mean, we went to go see Barbie in theaters. So like clearly if there's something we really want to see.
That was like a cultural event.
That's what I'm saying. It has to be really good for me to be like, okay, let me go buy a ticket.
No, I think it has to be an event. It doesn't have to be really good because you don't know if it's going to be really good.
Sometimes some movies are better on the big screen.
I just never care that much.
We're not really big fans of those movies that are better. Like the Marvel movies are better on the big screen. Like anything like action-y I think is better with like a immersive experience, but that's not really my genre.
Yeah, I agree. Saltburn sounds really good though. It's like a psychological comedy thriller, which is just so many words when you put them together. I am so happy.
Who's in it?
Jacob Elordi, Rosamund Pike, a few people whose names I don't know. Archie Madekwe sounds familiar. Barry Keoghan is listed first.
Only out in theaters?
I believe it's only out in theaters. It was directed by Emerald Fennell, who wrote Promising Young Woman. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
Which I really, that was a great movie too. It kind of sounds a little bit like Talented Mr. Ripley-esque.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
This guy, like, I guess he's kind of like a teenager. He's a teenager. Yeah, he's at Oxford. He gets drawn into the world of the charming and aristocratic Felix Catton, who invites him to Saltburn, his eccentric family's sprawling estate. I'm very excited.
It's a coming of age story for those who remember seeing their first very rich friend's house.
That is a thing.
Summer house. Or yeah. Something. We all remember that moment.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. It's big. This is really,
you know, nice. What I'm saying?
Yes.
Though,
like, oh, the, yes, like, of course. Like, yes. Okay. I'm very excited to see that. Have you been watching Salt Lake City this season?
No, I haven't watched that, I think, since the first season. For some reason, it just wasn't doing it for me. Oh, I watched a little bit of the one with the Mormon guy who wanted to give her to, he wanted to take an extra wife. Is she still on?
Mary?
No. It was like someone was married. Oh,
Jenny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is she still on?
No. She had some like racist Facebook posts uncovered and
yeah, I forgot about that.
Okay, I was also feeling that way, like, okay, whatever. This season though has been wild. It's like a fun house of crazy shit. This new housewife Monica is basically, they're uncovering that she is like a scammer who has like changed
again
but
another
not
one?
Not like she doesn't have like an active scam running. It's like she sued.
Is Jen Shah still on or no, is she in prison?
She's in prison.
Okay.
She sued Heather's Beauty Lab and Laser Place under a different name. And Heather was filming the whole season with her without realizing that she was the person who was suing her. She has this absolutely wild relationship with her mother where they actually fight. Like, imagine like the most cruel fight you could have with your mother. Like, they've had that on screen. Like,
interesting. It's, okay, now I need to watch.
You do. You need to see. And the mother's crazy. She's.
Do not, I need to have watched like the past?
No, because she's
seasons.
New. She's new. There's nothing that's relevant. It's. She's introduced. She introduces herself as basically she had been divorced, got back together with her husband, and then got divorced again because she slept with her brother-in-law for 18 months. And then she came clean to her pastor and got kicked out of the Mormon church. So that is
perfect for reality TV.
It's wild. There's crazy things with Mary Cosby. Like, she's really funny this season, Mary Cosby.
Is Whitney Rose still on it?
Yes. I like Whitney Rose a lot. Like, she's my favorite. There's this incident where Lisa...
Meredith's
still there, like, making weird memeable moments. It's just kind of it's wild this season. I think, okay. Watch it just for the ridiculousness.
I will. You know, after watching a few episodes of Beverly Hills, I agree with your assessment from the first time we talked about the season in that I think Kyle is not on Ozempic.
Mm-hmm.
And is just having a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
I haven't watched last night's, but I'm caught up besides that. But I'm really into this season. People seem to be being a little more honest.
I think this to me has been one of the more interesting seasons, even after the seasons where they were like, there's so much drama with Kathy and Erica and blah, blah, blah. Those were all not as good to watch because they're trying to hide stuff the whole time. Now it seems that things have come to a head. They can't hide the things they want to hide anymore. And I just think that it's like become a different. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand. Sutton, I don't understand why she's on this show. She has so much money. She's like only stands. She cares about like coming off as like pretentious and like well associated. I'm like, why are you doing this show? Like, you look like an asshole. And if you want to be this person who's on the board of the American Ballet, like, why are you doing this show in the first place? I don't understand.
I mean, I don't think she was like, I think she was not in a good place when that was happening. Like, I don't think that was reflective of her like rational decisions around whether she's going to do the show or not. My feeling about her doing the show based on the past few episodes is that she wants to show her husband that she can make a name for herself on her own.
If it was my ex-wife, I'd be like, oh my God, my ex-wife is off the rails. She's embarrassing herself on a reality television show.
That is one way to look at it.
Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, she's made it on her own. Like, go get her.
Also, there's like...
Pulled herself up by her $300,000 a month alimony bootstraps.
But there's also like this argument like that people call themselves sluttons and they like love her and she has like a fan base and it makes her happy. But I, you know... Would I say that's the safest way to go about proving yourself to your husband when there's editors determining how you're going to look and you don't know how you're going to come across and what will happen? No, right. That's not the safest way, but
it just seems odd for someone in high society, supposedly.
Does it?
It just seems like an odd choice. Yeah. I guess she's got like nothing else going on.
She's a little wacky. I mean that.
She's very wacky. It was so funny to watch when they're making fun of her about dating.
Yeah, it was so.
That was really funny.
She's
like, she wore the cat sweater to like the date or something.
I mean, it's maybe a second date.
That was very entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, she's a little wacky, so I don't think her reasoning about the show is maybe the same as yours or mine might be. But I find I think this is a great cast right now. I think they're all like in an actual moment of flux in their lives and they're showing it honestly, which is, again, pretty rare for them. And it's so much more enjoyable to watch, even though there's less, quote, drama, just to watch them like have honest, open and honest conversations that aren't trying to like posture an impression.
To be a certain way. Yeah, totally. All right. Well, I think we covered everything.
Okay. Good. Are you watching anything else?
I'm rewatching 6 Feet Under because there's no TV on. But now I might watch Salt Lake City.
Yeah, just this season has been good. You'll be caught up before you know it.
Oh, and The Crown comes out.
Oh, I'm so excited. Is that tomorrow? I think it's tomorrow.
I'm going to try to watch, probably not the whole thing because I want to pace myself.
Oh, I can't. No, I got to. Oh, 3 a.m. Wait, it's out then.
It's out.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Later.
Maybe we'll discuss next week.
I'm so excited. I love the crowd. Okay, this is wonderful. Who should we send to the Caymans?
I don't know. I don't want to send Northwest. She's too young.
Yeah, she would have to get a chaperone. Seems unfair.
Should we send the producer of the Gwyneth Paltrow musical somewhere nice?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Maybe let's send them to first class to the Caymans, to a 5-star hotel.
I wonder what Gwyneth thinks of this.
She must like
it. She probably thinks it's funny.
It's being put on in London by a group called Awkward Productions that describes themselves as harbingers of queer chaos. I think this is going to be good. It features original music by singer and songwriter Leland from RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm very excited. You got to go read. I'm going to send you the link to the Betches.com article because it'll take you literally 30 seconds to read and it's so fucking funny.
All right, I'm going to check it out.
Leaked Gwyneth Paltrow musical trial song list. I'm sending it, texting you.
Okay, I'm going to read it. And that's it for this week's At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Jordana Abraham.
Follow me at Sammy.
And make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. And we'll see you next week on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Holly Wilkinson. Editing by Jazz Zapatos and Shannon Sassone. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.